Welcome to the Twinkle Talks EYFS podcast. Working in the early years is busy, funny, messy, and exhausting. Join me, Shana, some of the Twinkle EYFS team, special guest speakers, and other early years practitioners as we talk honestly about our experiences. Whether you're listening for CPD, on your commute, or to help you relax, Twinkle EYFS will share everything you need to know about all things early years.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Twinkle Talks EYFS. I'm Katie.
And I'm Charlotte.
I'm Fliss.
And I'm Hannah.
And in this episode, we're going to be talking about our top tips to organise in a toddler room, because we know that from April 2024, which is not too far away, all eligible parents of two-year-olds are going to be entitled to 15 hours funding, which means for a lot of early year settings, an increase in the amount of toddlers or toddlers they already have doing a lot more hours, which could probably feel quite overwhelming. So we wanted to share some of our top tips. So the first things that we wanted to look at, and which is an issue in a lot of toddler rooms, is toileting. So do you guys have any top tips to share for that? Always fun area.
I mean, in my experience of working in the toddler room, it was always like my least favorite day when it was my nappy days, because like you were responsible for the nappies and the potty training children, and that could be it. Sometimes that means that we'd have like 24 children in, about 16 of them would be in nappies, and then the rest of them would be toilet training, or some of them actually quite all right and already got the hang of potty training and going to the toilet themselves, but they just need that little bit of assistance. So often for me, it was always I was having to like call on another practitioner to give me a hand, because like if a child has an accident, you don't want it to be like your fault and you think, oh, I didn't take them to the toilet, I didn't remind them and stuff like that. So it's just being on it and knowing which children in the room are the ones that are potty training or able to go to the toilet on their own, and just giving them gentle like reminders. For me, it was always before we went outside, I always just like made a big double check. All the potty training children, have they been and had a go for a wee? But yeah, it's just more just relying on each other and helping each other. I think, Hannah, you wrote that blog that we've got on site about potty training. So in that you say about like everyone in the room, like being aware of where each child's at. And I think that's just so important, so that each practitioner can help each other out and know which child's at what stage.
I think you've touched on like a really interesting point there, Fliss, in that across a nursery, I think toddler room is so unique, because child A can literally have just come into toddler room, still having a nap a day, maybe more, not fully feeding themselves yet, still in nappies, only saying one or two words. Child B can be completely independent in feeding, be potty trained for a couple of months, no more sleep, starting to like recognise the first letter in their name. And that's a huge difference in development. And you only really come across that situation in toddler room.
Yeah, and I guess it's like it depends what age your toddler room is as well. And I mean, I spoke to some people about this recently. So my toddler room was age 2 to 3, which I think is quite a lot, because like in that year they change like so much, and they become like, when they come down to us, they're quite dependent still. Whereas then when they're three, you'd start to notice it a couple of months before they were due to turn 3, that they were having so much more independence and they were in some ways ready to move through to preschool. But some toddler rooms have it where they're age like 1.5 to 2.5, so it all varies, and obviously at them different ages they'll have different needs. So it is just being aware of when the toddlers come into your room, you know where each of them are at, like you say.
Yeah, that's important. Charlotte and Hannah, do you have any other tips for toileting and toddlers and trying to have it be as unchaotic as possible?
We used to find, I don't know if this is a top tip or it's just being organized, but we used to find if you had an organized bathroom and you had everything you needed in there, like every child used to have their own nappy box. So they'd have like their own creams, their own nappies, anything else that they needed with their names on. So instead of like rooting through bags and trying to find everything while you're trying to get 4 toddlers into a bathroom, because our bathroom, like, it was quite a walk away from the room. So we found that just having everything in the bathroom, being really organised and people knowing which things belong to the children, so you weren't putting like their wrong nappies on, or you know, if you had like an apprentice learning and they didn't really know whose was who, it was all in a box and it was all labeled, and it just made it so much easier. Like when I used to go into toddlers from preschool just to help out, because I didn't really know some of the children, and they used to have like a potty training chart on the wall. It just had which children were potty training and what days they were in and kind of the times they used to take them. So I used to go off that, and then everything was in the bathroom. So I used to find having an organised bathroom with everything labelled helped me so much.
That's such a good point, because actually, even when I was room leader of a toddler room, like, I never worked at a setting where the clothes, like the spare clothes for children, are kept in the bathroom. So when you have the inevitable wet or soiled accidents, you've got to go out of the bathroom to get the clothes. It's actually a complete nightmare. And the nappies and the cream and the wipes are always in the bathroom. But I don't know why it never occurred to me in all of my years of working in a toddler room to just put the spare clothes there, because that sounds so simple.
What we used to do, the ones that were in that day and they were potty trained, especially if they were quite like early on, we'd just never put their bag on the peg. We'd just bring their bag straight into the nappy room, and we'd have like a load of hangers in there that we'd hang each bag onto, because we knew that we'd need their bag throughout the day.
I see. That's such, it's so simple, but like, that if I'd heard that a couple of years ago, that actually would have been so useful for me, because it's hard when you're already in the bathroom with what would now be five toddlers, and then you've got to go get pants from somewhere.
Yeah, we used to have big boxes full of spare clothes, and they were like underneath the nappy table.
Okay. So
yeah. If a child had an accident, you literally just got the box out and then found what you needed.
I think, like you guys said, the organisation for any aspect of the toddler room makes a big difference. But like Charlotte, if you've got all the nappies ready, spare clothes ready, it just saves those times where you're walking backwards and forwards, and that's normally when stuff goes wrong. So it just relieves the stress if you've got it all organised. And I think the other thing is with the toilet training, making sure that like parents are on board and you've talked to them about what they're doing at home and their routines, because then that will hopefully help minimise accidents, which, as we all know, will save a bit of our workload.
It's not an accident, but what used to always annoy me about potty training is that I'd let them sit on the potty and I think they'd be all right, and then I'd turn around and like they'd just be wee all over the floor, and that's just an extra element that you have to deal with. I'm like, great, go get the red mop. I'm like, why can't you just go in the potty? Like, when I'm already like changing one on the nappy changing mat, and then there's like two sat on the potty, and then I turn around and there's wee everywhere.
Just toilet time with toddlers is so hard to manage. Ideally, you kind of want to be taking all the, like, a small group of the potty training children together. But the likelihood of that happening is so low, isn't it? Because there's usually 10 plus children, and it's just whoever needs to go the most desperate has got to go, even if that means you're changing a soiled nappy with three children on a potty. There's only so much you can do. Another area that we wanted to share our top tips for, and something that we say a lot on social media, is managing toddler room when it comes to the sleeping situation, which is definitely something we've talked about on our podcast before. But it is hard when you've got half the room who are wide awake and you've just fed them, so they've got even more energy and they're ready to rock and roll around. And then you've got the other half who you need to put down for a nap, because if they're not asleep in half an hour, they're going to be crying and screaming in tired little tantrums. So do you have any tips for trying to manage that balance?
I say for us, because we always like kept them separate, but just the way they laid down on the bed, so like where their bed was. Sometimes, I think in our baby room, they used to put their name down, so they'd go find their name. So that might be the same in other settings. But in ours, like whoever was kind of done from the dinner first came over. But we like directed them on kind of what bed to go on, because the ones that have a limit and the ones that sleep for ages, we wanted the ones that have a limit to be like away from the other ones, because they're going to wake up and disturb the others. So that's kind of how we try to organise the sleepers. But then the non-sleepers, we kind of kept them to the other side of the room, and it was more just one practitioner kind of stays with them at all times, just to keep them like engaged with an activity or something. Tend to be like an activity that their key worker might have suggested, or just general like jigsaws, books and free play over that area. But definitely always having an adult. It's hard to have an adult there at all times when it's like lunchtime and people are going off on the lunches at the same time, and then you need hands putting them to sleep. But I think it definitely helps keep the noise down, because you feel a bit sorry for the non-sleepers because they still want to play and do their thing.
Yeah, it feels like you're forcing them to be quiet and stop having fun for a little bit, doesn't it?
But then I think they just learn to get to know it, I think. And eventually, like most of the time, it'd be them children that are going home at 1 o'clock anyway. So like they've literally only got an hour, and then they know they're going home. So they tend to be a bit chill.
A lot of the settings I used to work at, it was really rare anywhere I've worked to have children on a half day. Like most children were on a full day, but it was always usually the older children that were nap free. So where possible, we would get an adult to take them up to preschool, which obviously is an added strain on the preschool room. So that needs to be considered really on the day about what's going on in there. But for a lot of children, we tried to use that as sort of like a session for them to settle into their next room just before they were getting ready to move. So that would help sometimes. And then quite a lot of the time, as long as the weather permitted, and by weather permitted, I'm like snowstorm, rainstorm, we try and get the children outside. They've got so much energy and you just fed them, so they have even more energy. So it was always a good time to try and burn it off. I don't know if anybody else has any different tips apart from you kind of have to separate as best you can.
I think, like Katie said, getting outside if you can, because then they are completely separate from the sleepers. But also maybe trying to use lighting, or, you know, lighting to split the room a little bit, music to maybe try and dull out some of the noise that the other children are making for the sleepers.
Drown out all the screamers with classical music.
Classical music. But yeah, it is really tricky when you're in one space. And I think, like Fliss said, you've got maybe people going on their lunch break, so there's less hands. Mm-hmm. Maybe people who don't know the children so well coming in to help is another situation. So it is really hard to manage it. And I think it's just trying out different things and maybe chatting as a team and working out what's going to work best in your space and not being afraid to trial stuff.
I honestly used to just find that lunchtime period from like as soon as you sat them down to lunch to when the last child woke up, I just found that period so stressful in toddler room, because it's just a constant balance of making sure you've got enough staff to do everything you need to do, everyone's having their like needs met. And it was hard work, I found that time. Like, as soon as everyone was awake again, you could kind of all just settle back into a routine. But, like, a couple of hours of just what I felt like was chaos. We also have been seeing a lot of people requesting tips for activities, which makes sense, because with an influx of children coming into your toddler rooms, you're probably going to need to have a wider range of activities available. Fliss has actually recently published a blog on the Twinkle website, which we'll leave in the blog description, that has some really fun, engaging activities that you can do with toddlers. But over the years, what have you guys found is usually quite successful to keeping toddlers engaged?
I think like schema-related activities, so having a really good understanding of schemas and like sort of little activities that are, you know, posting or, I don't know, cars on ramps, those kind of little simple activities are often the ones that are most engaging for toddlers, and they're quite easy to set up.
I would say anything with transport has always been a big hit in any toddler room I've worked in. There's just something about cars and trains.
Definitely. I mean, as you said, like, it used to be sand and water that was their favourite in toddlers. Obviously, not for practitioners, because it gets everywhere, especially when it's mixed together. You know, they like to transport it into the role play area, but yeah, they just used to like the sand and the water, and we used to take it outside as well when we go outside with them, so they could play with it out there. And then anything messy, really, they just used to love playing in like shaving foam and anything like sensory as like as well, especially the younger toddlers.
I also think the toddler age is where they really start to begin exploring group play, and they start to really begin exploring imaginative play on a much more deeper level than they would have been doing in baby room. So it's making sure that you have a variety of resources available, so they will enjoy dressing up. They like, they might need a little bit more support than they would do in preschool, getting zips and buttons and Velcro done, but I think toddler room is where they really start to develop and hone those skills. So anything based around that, those activities, especially in roles that they'll recognize people doing. So for example, a toddler won't have much clue about a teacher, because their encounter with education is you as a practitioner, but they do know about things like firemen and superheroes and fairies. So I think making sure they've got opportunities for that is really fun and engaging for them.
I was going to say, yeah, for us it was the role play in the home corner was always a popular area, often with the babies and stuff. I mean, a bit stereotypical, but that is where you'd find most of the girls in our room.
Everybody loves a baby, don't they, in the toddler room?
And then even just like construction and small world, they'd all be over there quite a lot. So they kind of like use the whole room for me. And then it's like, I don't know, just building and being aware as a practitioner of where your key children are in the rooms, and you know where they're at. So when you're interacting with them, I think a lot of the days now, a lot of it is in the moment with things. I know places have like dropped their plan in and stuff, and when I've spoken the toddler group that we've got on Facebook, a lot of settings now are a lot more in the moment rather than planning out their week. So it's just knowing where your key children are to then go and extend their learning there and then with their next steps. Our children love every area pretty much.
And it's kind of like we've said with everything so far, it's to remember that you might be that child's key worker, but you're actually still responsible for the learning, development and education of all the children in the room. So if you know child A is interested in a certain area, go and develop that. Like, a lot of the activities don't need to be pre-planned in advance. It is what you do and extend and develop based on what they're doing in the moment that's really important. And then before we wrap up the episode, I thought it'd be really great if we could share some of our top tips for general room organisation. Because if you have an influx of children, that's a lot more little bodies running around, that's a lot more water bottles to be thinking about, it's a lot more observations to be thinking about, handovers to do, bags to be hanging up, shoes to put on for outside play. It's a lot more of everything, which is easy to forget. So general organisation tips for the day. Have you got anything there, team?
I was going to say, a lot of people that don't work in toddlers dread going to toddlers, or like say it's like the most chaotic room and that sort of thing. But I just think with toddlers, because you know how they have their energy, they are exploring the room so much more. I just think having a team that, one, have teamwork and are there to help each other, like say like it's you're in the messy area, but you can tell that there's loads of toddlers over there, just go over as an extra body, help them out. And communication, just talk to each other about what's going on. Because I think when the communication isn't there, that's when the room starts to go a bit chaos. And we used to always have a rota as well. So kind of everyone had a bit of a responsibility throughout the day just to help the day run a lot smoother. But communication, teamwork and a rota would be my tips.
I think that's a really good shout. And kind of combining all of that, like even if you're rotated, for example, to be on like the messy play area, and like you said, you notice that there's only really one or two children over there, but role play is super busy. It's having that flexibility to just go, okay, that's where I'm needed right now. That's where I'll go. Like that's mm-hmm. where there is support that's needed. So I'll go do that. And I think that's really important, because sometimes when we have our rotas, we get a bit like caught in like, I'm in this area, I can't help. So it's remembering you're there for everyone in the room, all the children and all the staff too. I think it's really important.
I think my top tip is making sure that the children can access the resources independently, or they can access their water bottle. Because that then, if children can access their drink bottle or, you know, go and find the toy that they want to play with, saves you a lot of hassle and probably a lot of sort of frustration from the children's end as well. So just like looking around the room and making sure that it is sort of toddler friendly and they can access resources that you want them to, or if there's something you don't want them to be able to access, make sure it's out of the way.
That's actually such a good idea, Hannah. Yeah.
I always remember someone once saying, it was in relation to the baby room, but I guess it applies to any age room, like always like get down to what their level would be and think, what are they seeing from that level? So like when you're down that level, can you see where the car basket is, or is the car basket hidden away and it's not in their eyesight, that sort of thing? Just getting on their level and seeing the room through the toddler's eyes.
That's such a good shout. And I really like what you said, Hannah, about encouraging that independence in the children, because by the time they leave the toddler room, that's where you expect them to be at. So you have to give them the opportunity to do that as well.
And I think sometimes you can involve them into, although it might take longer to start, like putting your plates out at lunchtime. If you can involve them in that early on, eventually maybe some of the older children might be able to do some of that task for you. So little things like that, if you can involve them, eventually, I'm not saying straight away, eventually it might reduce some of your workload.
2 months in.
A few broken plates, but you know.
Okay, amazing. Well, thank you everyone for sharing your tips. And if anyone else has any questions related to toddlers, toddler room activities, you can always get in touch with us on our various social media accounts, including Facebook, Instagram, Facebook groups, Pinterest. If it's a social media platform, we're probably on it. But in the meantime, we'll speak to you in a couple of weeks. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. So that's it for today's episode. I hope you really enjoyed it. If you would like to join in or would like to know more, then come and find us on our social media sites. We have a Facebook page, Facebook groups, an Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, Pinterest, and YouTube. All the links of where to find us will be in our podcast description. Come and join the conversation. And whatever you're doing today, I hope you have a great day.